And then when I was Googling, I just Googling my name this morning, I can't exactly remember for what reason, but
it's called the narcissism. 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 She got to get help.
It was for research purposes.
Yeah, research.
And
that's what stalkers say as well.
Hi, and welcome to The Expansive, a podcast that is no longer just a podcast. We have to start this episode today with the announcement of The Expansive book.
Well, if you're watching on video...
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
There is... the cover is being held up. The book has arrived. 9,500 minutes of audio, 250. I mean, we keep saying this. We want to make sure we get the numbers out there, you know. 9,500 minutes of audio, 250 episodes recorded, 5 years of podcasting, 2 awards later, many, many conversations about being expansive, living expansively, building expansive businesses, many conversations about how do we get this thing to grow bigger, conversations about going back to being more authentic, back and forth, you know, lots of banter. And here we are. A book has landed. Your 12th book, my 7th book. Congratulations to us.
Yeah, congratulations. I think the best thing that's come out of it is our friendship.
And, yeah.
The laughs that we have are deep and guttural. And I do call you my hairdresser friend. You're the only friend I bitch with. So
I just give off that kind of energy, I guess.
Such a hairdresser. I think that would be the best way to describe friendship. What sort of friendship is he? He's a hairdresser friendship. Okay, good. We know exactly. You've got all the deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's been really great. So proud to hold the book, and I still haven't held it. Shams opened up mine and sent us a video of it, and you did it yesterday online. And so, yeah, very exciting. The book feels great quality. We printed with a new printer this time, Tracy. Well, first time she's published for me. I think she's published for you before.
She's done exceptional. All my books almost.
She's been exceptional. Tracy, you've been fantastic. If you are listening to this pod, well done. I mean, quick, efficient, to the point, well-priced. Everything. I mean, she's really blowing all the other publishers out the water. We're excited. We've got 3 launches coming, Joburg, Cape Town, and Dubai. And we'll be releasing those dates this week, actually, with the event time. So please make sure you come. It'll be great to see you there. And we've got some cool ideas for the launch itself. And really looking forward to it. What an exciting time to be able to do this. I did make a post yesterday. It's like, I failed school miserably. I got expelled twice. Couldn't pass to save my life. And here we are, 12 books later, 7 books for you. What?
You know, what happened? It's funny because I'm always thinking, well, you know, when we introduce ourselves on stage, we go through all these different, you know, like I'm a keynote speaker, I'm a podcaster, I'm an author, you know, futurist, specialist, like there's all these kind of things. And then when I was Googling, I just Googling my name this morning, I can't exactly remember for what reason. But
it's called the narcissism. 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 She got to get help.
It was for research purposes.
Yeah, research.
And
that's what stalkers say as well. Yeah.
And the way that Google describes me as an author, and it's so weird because even though, you know, I'm 7 books deep, so 3 written. And then 4 was sort of co-authored, you know. I still don't like deeply entrenched feel like an author like first, you know, which is interesting because we spend so much of our time taking ideas, distilling them down, putting them onto paper and going through the effort of putting it into a book format, which is a lot of work, you know. Even the Expansive book, it's a very modern book in the sense, and we talk about this in the book, that it came from the podcast, distilled by a ghostwriter, infused with artificial intelligence, edited, re-edited by us and by other people. Even that was a huge undertaking. You know?
Yes, it was. It took us 2 years to get it going. I mean, we've been threatening to do it for ages. Yeah.
So it's so interesting to me that I am an author, but it's still not something that is like a front-facing personality in some way, in my own world. You know what I mean? Do you feel different?
No, not at all. At all. I think I'm like an entrepreneur first. Like Justin Cohen, the speaker, he always says to me, he says, you applied your entrepreneurship to your speaking. That's why it's blown up. It's like, I'm an entrepreneur first and then I'm a speaker, then I'm an author, or then I'm a podcaster. I don't even know, actually. I haven't even thought of that. But someone yesterday said to me, don't forget that author comes from authority. It's like when you put that much effort into something, you become an authority on that subject, you know? And so that's what it kind of means, is you're an authority on your subject per se, which you kind of are. I mean, so...
Yeah, I guess where it's different is that if you had to ask me, what do you identify as in your professional career? I'd go with keynote speaker. I'd go with wanting to someone who wants to get on stage and on platforms and share ideas. And what the book allows you to do is to establish that authority. So it's not that I want to be an author, but it's just a vehicle for building the speaking side of it, you know? But it's kind of funny that it comes with the moniker of author. Like it establishes you in a box as an author.
Yeah, you're right. I've never checked myself on Google, so I have no idea what it says. So I mean, No, don't.
Are you scared about what it might say?
No, I'm joking. Of course I check it. I check it every second day. What are you talking about? It's an alert. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm quite interested now to see what it says. Okay. It says author.
It says doesn't author. Say author. Okay. Yes. Okay, yeah. All right, well.
So you are in the same category.
Yeah, okay. Well, there we go. I'm in the author mode.
Author mode.
Well, let's get on to today's topic. It does feel like the podcast sometimes is, John, go and study with somebody and then come back and tell us about it.
Exactly.
That's become like the, go out there, figure out what's going on, okay, and then come back and then tell us what happened and that thing. So we don't have to pay that money and travel all that way there.
Thank you for doing that.
Pleasure. It actually helps me a lot, to be honest. I was speaking to Ivy last night. We were on a walk and I was just explaining to her all the things that I'd experienced. And it was amazing because it actually prepped me for the pod. And then it brought up so much stuff that I'd kind of forgotten already from the week with Dr. Zach Bush. So today's pod is really about my week in Costa Rica, in the jungles of Costa Rica with Dr. Zach Bush. If you don't know who he is, please look him up. Some amazing information that he has access to, and the way he speaks is so incredibly fluid. I find him and Dr. Joe Dispenza similar in their fluidity of information. They got this just like unbelievable access to amount of words that are going through them. You know, Dr. Joe, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can hear a pin drop. And it's just unbelievable. That's that level of, I don't know, power, fluidity. And then Zach's the same, you know. I mean, he wasn't doing 14 hours, 7 days, but when Zach would start talking, Jesus, I mean, it's just, you like open up, start crying, all sorts of things. So let's set the scene. Dr. Zach Bush is a doctorate of three different doctorates. So he's got a hospice doctorate, endocrinology, and microbiome doctorates. But he's given them all up. He doesn't believe in Western medicine. He now does and teaches something called Beyond Biology. And this is really what we were there for. It was his second course he's ever done. Last time he did it was 50 people. This time it was 120 people. Of the 120 people, there were 105 women and 15 guys, which was really an incredible.
That's very interesting.
But in most of this work that I do is mostly females anyway, but this one was majorly female, but not only just female, 50 years old and above. And that was also really interesting. A lot of grannies and a lot of older people. And I found that beautiful because I found it actually as a sign of compliment, because I think the most powerful people in the world are women over 50. You know, they're just so powerful. They really fully understand themselves, have moved into their lioness aspect of themselves. And like, if you think about like Matrix, remember the Matrix, who was God? Black woman. Like that's who they portrayed as woman. And I think that's 100% right. The Oracle. Yeah. So
tell me, just before we go on, is it possible also that at that age because if it's the way it's sounding is that it's mostly about health. So is it also that
it's not about health?
They are most likely.
It's not about health. No, it's not about health at all. It's about consciousness. It's consciousness studies.
Oh, okay.
So all a right. lot of people from Colorado there. Colorado's got a very spiritual community. Lots of people that work the land, like regenerative farming people there, like lots of retired people. Like, yeah, it was very little to do with health, actually. It was a lot to do with our minds and our relationship with nature. So the whole week was called We Are the Medicine We've Been Looking For. It's like, you are the medicine you've been looking for. There's nothing outside of you. You are everything. You just haven't tapped into your full potential. And Dr. Joe has a similar idea, is that Dr. Joe says you have the largest, most diverse, most powerful pharmacy inside you, depending on the emotions that you access. He says we've measured higher levels of morphine from human body, created by the human body, than you can even inject into you or whatever the case may be. So that was, again, the same theme. But what was so amazing, and I said this to you yesterday, is the whole idea of this is your sovereignty, your individual sovereignty. When you tap into your sovereignty, you really tap into your superpower. And my word of the year is sovereignty. And it was just, I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
What a sink. I was gobsmacked. I was sitting there. And as he said, at the first day, where he starts off with sovereignty, and I just start smiling. And I think I look around, and I'm like, I can't tell anybody. It won't make any sense here. I got a podcast. I got a word of the year, and it's sovereignty. And here he's talking about sovereignty. So that was quite funny. So the whole idea of it was, we don't understand the level of sophistication and technology that our bodies have. That it was so, and again, exactly like Dr. Joe, is like we are sitting on latent software inside our bodies and inside our brains that just haven't been switched on. We don't even know how powerful we are. And Dr. Zach, obviously being a doctor, speaks so beautifully and so eloquently. And he spoke about the idea that when the sperm meets the egg, the energy that's produced is 10,000 times brighter than the sun. It says we are energetically like massive. And a major part of it really affecting me was the first or second day. And he spoke about parental roles. And he spoke about how we have all got this idea that our parents owe us something. And he said, let me just make something very clear to you. Your parents didn't make you. You made you. You wove yourself together. And he said that a few times in the week. He's like, you weaved yourself together. Your intelligence created you. 70 trillion cells were created by the spark of this energy. It's like, try and think about that. This perfect being arrives, breathing. It's like, that is just, it's unbelievable. And we just don't give it any kudos. But more importantly, we think our mom and dads owe us something. Because you think they made you. He says, let me ask you, you think your mother at 22 years old or whatever she was when she had you had any idea of what was going on in her own life, let alone now having the intelligence of weaving you together? Like, please, man. And that really released a lot of energy for me and really helped me a lot. And there was so much sobbing in the room because I think lots of people have stories with their parents, right? And he just like totally dissolved that idea that your parents owe you anything. In fact, they are just vessels of energy that brought you through. That was it. Like, they were just there as vessels, nothing else. But the most amazing thing is, and this really landed for me, because my relationship with my father for many years was very challenging. And I always saw him as a bully and an abuser. And what happened from a very young age, I stopped speaking to him like when I was 10. And from that age, I had abusing males around me. At school, all the matrics were bullying me. When I went clubbing, all the bouncers wanted to beat me up. And then when I went into business, I attracted the most biggest gangsters in the world when I was with Premier Piatti. I mean, and they helped me go bankrupt. And then I became a Sweat 1000 instructor, and the guy who owned that was an idiot. And so it was just like, it was so much like continuous aspects of that type of masculine around me. And then I healed my relationship with my dad. And all of a sudden, all those guys disappeared. And all of a sudden, now I have amazing relationships with older men that are friends. Like, they're like friends of mine. And I've got them all over the world. And totally changed my relationship with men when I healed my relationship with my dad. And the exact same thing happened this time with my mom. And my projection of expectation from my mom, without me really realizing that I had that much expectation on her, and expecting her to be some level of perfection somehow, and how did she not parent me in some way or another, releasing that changed my relationship with woman. And I've got a very different, not that I had a major issue, but I suppose, you know, even underlying tonality to expectations and projections. And I feel so calm. It's like such a wave of calmness around me, releasing my parents of any sort of responsibility.
Obviously, you know, if people listen to the previous pod, so the one before the last one,
attachment style.
We had that deep dive into your attachment style, and we spoke quite extensively about it. Do you feel like coming out of this, something that is now obviously shifted?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I didn't know my attachment styles were so linked to my parents. How weird. Like, obviously, there was some type of love that I received that was not fluid. And so obviously, that's from your parents. And so you grow up upset that you didn't get that fluidity of love. Then you let go of that. And then I didn't realize the repercussions into my attachment styles. So yeah, very, very interesting surprise that came out of that, you know, very interesting.
And if you say you release them, is that just, I have the conscious awareness now that this is where that comes from, and consciously I'm just deciding to let it go? Or is there a different practice that comes with that sort of release?
Such a great question. So in the room, there was 16 helpers. It was Zach and 16 helpers, right? And of the 16 helpers, there were three musicians. There was two opera singers, a female and a male. And there was a musician, apparently a legend in Costa Rica, and also has traveled the world. And he would riff. They would all riff. There was no rehearsal. So while Zach was speaking, there was an opera singer, female, who was unbelievable. Then there was a male opera singer, all riffing together. And then the musician playing. And then also the musician had plants hooked up to a sound synthesizer. And these plants were playing their own melody. Yes. Yeah, they were playing their own melody. Mm-hmm. And the musician was telling us he was one of the first people in the world that had concerts around the world with plants.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Amazing.
We've covered that before in the pod, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
cool. So what you had in the room was a resonance of lots of different sounds while Zach is speaking. And let me tell you, I mean, when you're around people like Zach and the way he speaks, the fluidity that he comes with that information, I mean, it hits you deep, dude. And then around you got all these opera and plant music and this and that. And then you cry and you're like releasing, and then you go into breath work. And then there's like a serious breath work session, and then you break, and then you come back and then you do another exercise around the same topic. So a day was spent building on that idea. And then the next day was built on another idea. But then all of those ideas would have music, they'd have breath work, they'd have exercises. So yes, it was awareness, but also practices that we had.
Did he do like meditation with you guys as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it's not Dr. Joe stuff, but yeah, we did a lot of visualization, a lot of meditation, a lot of breath work. Also, Dr. Joe doesn't really do breath work. There was a lot of breath work here, you know, a lot of breath work. So a lot of body.
How do you find it? Because we haven't actually spoken about breath work a lot. Like, how do you find when you do breath work?
Well, breath work releases DMT into your brain, just like ayahuasca gives you. So you can have very interdimensional experiences. Your body also is being super oxygenated. And if you think about it, what you stop doing when you die is you stop breathing, which means you release your soul or whatever it is that you have inside you, because of your breath is what's keeping it connected. And so what you're actually kind of doing, depends how esoteric you want to get about it, but you're bringing more of your soul into your space by activating so much more oxygen into yourself. So you almost like have more of your ethereal self with you. And in that process, there's a lot of clearing, a lot of energy clearing. So yes, I've done it for 30 years, breath work, you know. And my favorite Dr. Joe Dispenza meditation is called Electric Body, which is a 90-minute meditation that's got breath work in it. It's actually his only meditation that's got breath work. Yeah, it's the best one. So yeah, breath work definitely invokes a lot of energy around you and gives you perspectives on parts of your life that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. Okay, so there was a big thing around nature, and the intelligence of nature. And Zach was talking about communications with plants and the communication within themselves and the communication we have with us. And then he also started doing an exercise around communication with our organs. Like he says, you got to understand is that everything is emitting some type of frequency. Just like the plant is making music that you can't hear, we have to put it into a sound synthesizer to make it like relate to our broadband of sound. This is everything is making music. So can you get into that state where you can access that level of detail? And it's interesting because again, like Dr. Joe speaks a lot about is you're like the visualization of the communication is what begins the communication. And Dr. Joe often says, he says, if you don't believe there's an invisible web behind this type, this level of reality that you're experiencing, and this invisible web behind reality is now being proven by science is 99.99999% empty, pregnant with potential. If you don't know this web is there, you can't access it. Like, it's an invisibility to you. And so exactly what Zach was saying is like, there's a deep level of communication that's happening that if you don't accept and don't practice and don't build the muscle of, it doesn't exist. I mean, think about how your life has changed since you started meditating. And when you do go meditate, isn't there a familiarity with that world? All of a sudden, you've spent so much time there, you're like, oh, I'm in another version of reality that I'm now become quite comfortable with. It's like a neighborhood that I know, right? It's the exact same thing here. And so when he talks about organs and people were like, yo, some of the people, my organs didn't speak to me, but some people were like, yo, I felt this about this organ, or I felt like I needed a bit more of this. And I was like, yo, cool. I mean, I think everything's available. You know what I mean? I don't think it's like, I you know what? I'm the type of guy who's always want to be a yes and. Like, yeah, yes and, okay, yeah, let me try it. Let me see what happens. I mean, it's so easy to go, nah, that's bullshit, ugh, rubbish. Well, then you know, you're never experiencing anything else. I made a post today about certainty is a stagnation in disguise. It's like, yeah, you're certain about your life, right? Or you're actually just stagnating into everything you believe, you know? So anyway, I like the yes and sort of scenario. Any questions so far? Because I got four more points.
No, I don't have any questions on that. Go for it.
Okay. One thing that was just mind-blowing, Zach said he's had two failed marriages. And he's broken about them. He's fine now about them. But if you listen to any of the podcasts talking about his failed marriages, he cries. Actually, let me just say, he cries a lot. Like while he's talking, geez, he just starts crying. Yeah. And he keeps talking while he's crying. And it's so amazing because it gives you permission to cry. And his tears, they're so genuine. And his voice starts trembling because he's so in love with, I don't know, whatever, that just like, it was really amazing to listen to that. But anyway, so he was talking about lame husbands. And he asked women, who's got lame husbands? And a lot of women didn't put their hands up, but they were like, well, eyes were closed. And they're like, they're like, did that sort of thing. And he said, what's happened is that we have given the men the wrong responsibilities. He says, men were never supposed to be protectors. Women are the protectors. Men are there to witness the female into her power. He says, because if you look at the wild world, and he does a lot of work with lions, and he's like, lion's the female. The lioness is the protector, not the lion. And what we've done is we've mistakenly asked the man to protect, but emotionally, the woman is the protector, not the physical. The physical is not the protector. Done. Those days are done. So what we do is we ask men the wrong questions, and the men themselves are bewildered of how to answer. We don't know how to answer. So he had a very different role of, you know, very interesting. He had a very different, interesting take. And I was thinking about this amazing like meme I saw a long time ago. And it was when, in the future, when women start ruling the world, the United Nations meeting is about to start. And you see all these women arrive around the table and they're like there for like 3 minutes. And like, okay, bye-bye. Thank you, Syria. Thank you, Israel. Thank you, America. Yes, everything's good. Everybody's kids well-fed. Yes, you're all good. Okay, bye. There were no wars. It's just women getting along and sorting things out, you know? Mm-hmm. And also reminded me, you know, in Africa, I was doing some work around a food program a little while back. And the stat that they shared in one of the board meetings was, If you give $10 to a man in Africa, $1 of it gets to the family. $9 goes on to booze, woman, and himself. And if you give $9 to a woman in Africa, $9 goes to the family and $1 goes to herself. That was a stat that they had. And it just shows you, you know, like we've given the power to the wrong place. And we know this. This is now starting to come to life, right? You know?
It is. It's something I'll have to sit with. I like the reframe. It's interesting. It's challenging.
I mean, I'm not doing it any justice, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it any justice. I mean, it's all his words.
Yeah.
But it's actually true. If you think about it, women can do it better, man.
Mm.
No, but women can do it better because there's no fighting with women, dude. That's a guy thing.
Mm.
Women don't want to do that. That's like a different energy there. And so, yeah, I mean, it was beautiful the way you spoke about it. And obviously the woman went tears because there was also a lot of release on the expectation of their husbands. That also switched, you know what I mean? It's like, shit, I've been asking this guy the wrong question. And I would think that was the big release that everybody felt.
Yeah.
Then they did this exercise where you walked around the room and there were 7 questions that we had to ask. And you could stop with anybody and ask these questions. And they were about relationships. And they were like, which ones trigger you, you know? And there's only one I can remember because it's the only one that really triggered me big time. And it's in relationships, what we often do with people and our partners, it says, if there's only one thing you do differently, then I truly love you. You know, I can't love you because, you know, these 3 characteristics of you really hold me back. And it really, like, it was so interesting. That line really got me. It's like, geez, my whole life I've been doing that, you know. If there was only one, you know, if you only just did those 2 things differently, then everything would be fine. It was an escape strategy that I had because of my avoidance or maybe my old avoidance style. Interesting, we did attachment styles beforehand and I had no idea that'd be so different now. Wow. So interesting.
What's interesting about that question is that it exposes so much more about you than about the other person, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I didn't, when I said it, I was like, oh my God, this is my problem. Obviously, it's not the other person's problem. What? So I'm perfect. So I'm fine. So either my partner sees me perfectly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've got now issues. I mean, how arrogant is that?
And also, it's just like the underlying condition there is that my love is conditional on you doing things in a certain way.
Performing the way I need you to perform.
Exactly, yeah.
What terrible, bro. Terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible. Then Zach also spoke an exceptional amount about aliens. Like, you have no idea. Like, I'm not even going to go to everything he said because there's some wacky stories. But, dude, he was continuously talking about the Palladians and what's happening and Palladians and Palladians. And so a lot about the Palladians. And so the Palladians come from a star system called, I think they're called the Jewel Box, I think. It's like 5 planets next to each other. You can see them actually in the sky when you look up. And Subaru, you know the car Subaru has got the logo of Subaru is of those stars, the star systems. Yeah, that they come from. I think the Pleiades. I could be very wrong. So if I am wrong, I'm sorry and please tell me. But I think that's it. So very interesting that he spoke about that. Then I'm going to get to the juicy stuffs now. And the last piece that I've got to say, and the juicy thing is, he is related to George Bush, the president of America. And he's running for president. Zach Bush is running for president in 4 years' time. Can you believe that?
Sure.
So let me tell you how that came about. Like, so 120 people, 110 guy. I mean, 110 women. So like, I don't know, 10 or 15 guys, somewhere around there. And if I tell you the women were ready to eat him alive, I mean, it was exactly that. Because I mean, think about it. He's just giving them information. And I guess, you know, that power structure is very attractive.
Articulate, so look, emotional.
Articulate, vulnerable, emotional, crying, open-hearted. Yeah, just like all the things. And so, yeah, the woman ready to eat him alive. So every time we had meals together, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he would be surrounded by women because, I mean, they all want to chat to him and all sorts of things, right? So I actually didn't engage with him at all. I mean, we saw and greeted each other, but obviously he doesn't know who I am. So didn't engage with him. Obviously he was continuously busy with all these people around him. Day 5 arrives. And I'm sitting there having breakfast with a friend that I made, Victoria, and he beelines for me. He comes to me, he's like, "You Persian?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "You're from Dubai?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "My team's been telling me about you. Can I sit and have breakfast with you?" So I was like, "Yeah, sure." sat down for 90 minutes, bro. He started telling me about the downloads he's had about Washington and how it's been built. The downloads he had about Mary Magdalene and how it's the female version of Jesus. And how, like, just like he went through like this, like I didn't say one thing, bro. He told me about all of his businesses all around the world, what he's doing. You know, his major business, what he's doing, is trying to greenify Africa. So he's working with multiple countries all the way from mid-Africa upwards into the Sahara. He wants to make it green again. And so he says, and how's this? He said, planting trees is not the right thing to do. You have to plant grass. Grass is the first thing that nature needs, not trees. So they made a big mistake. So he's got this huge program and he's got a biofuel business and he's meeting with Modi from India. And like, I mean, just like all these network is unbelievable that he's doing. And his grandmother sat him down when he was 8 years old and said, you're going to be running for president when you're older. So get ready. So he says he's been prepping for it his whole life. And while he's telling me that, I was like, you connected to the Bushes? He's like, yeah, they're my uncles. I'm like, wow.
That's insane.
Like, that is, I did not expect that. But then he said to me, he says, look, I come to Dubai often, would love to connect with you. Why don't you take my number and send me a message? And when I'm in Dubai, I'll connect with you. So he gave me his number. And as now the like 90 minutes is up, and now by this time, it's so funny. It was just me sitting there talking to him with Victoria left and had to go do something. So it's just me and him talking, and it was a 6-seater table. By the time him and I like were 2/3 through the discussion, there was 6 women sitting all around the table now. And he's talking to me. Eventually, the woman now start butting in, asking questions. And by that time it happened, I just got up and said, Zach, great to see you, man. Thanks so much. I'm out of here. It was very cool. You know, it was a really good, I made a lot of good friends. I've got a lot of friends, even more friends around the world now, which I'm always so excited about, connecting with people that now I've going to these cities more and more often. So yeah, all in all, very good experience. If I had to compare him and Dr. Joe Dispenza, I would say that overall, I get more of a kick from Dr. Joe Dispenza just because of the practice of meditation. But the information that Zach was sharing was brand new to me. I'd never heard a lot of the things he was saying. And actually, you know, we well-versed. We listen to a lot. I see myself as a serious student of what's going on in the world. And he was saying things to me I'd never heard, but a lot. Like it wasn't like one thing he said here or two things he said there. And I felt the same thing when I met Dr. Joe as well the first time. I was like, I'd never heard anything he'd said. Now I'm well-versed in it. But Zach's stuff is also like, what? What? It's like that. Like masculinity is that. Oh, and my parents did that. And they didn't do that. I was like, oh my God, I'd never heard that. And that's why I think it's so, so, so important to seek out the best teachers in the world and go and spend time with them. Yeah. I look at my attachment style. Like I'm pleased God it's gone, but it's, I feel totally at peace. You know what I mean? There's such clarity in my mind about it. So seek out the best teachers you can find and go spend time with them.
And I think it's important that even if you don't agree with them, you know, there's always something you can learn. And I think we are quick to go, oh, like, I don't like this thing that they're saying, and therefore, like, I discard everything they say. And that's fine. You don't have to agree with everything. Like, but there's still, it doesn't mean that there's no truth in what is being said. It also sometimes means that you aren't ready to receive the information yet. Not always. It doesn't always mean, oh, because I don't get it, that it's you. You know, sometimes it's just not a match either. But I do think it's good to be open, expose yourself to things, take what works, discard what doesn't work, come back to it again, because maybe a few years later you're a different person and now you can accept that message in a different way. But there's so many teachers that we can find, and we shouldn't just discard them because we don't agree with parts of their thinking.
I don't think you should. You know, sometimes approach. Somebody says to me on LinkedIn, John, I love your work, but I don't agree with this. And whatever they say, my response is always the same. You should never agree with everything everybody says. You shouldn't. You should always have your own opinion.
Yeah.
Zach said some stuff about AI and I was like, okay, interesting. I mean, I can't even remember what he said, but when he was saying it, I was like, I don't really see it like that, but very interesting perspective. And what do they say? The highest form of intelligence is holding two opposing ideas into your head at the same time and listening to both. That's called adaptability. And so when people are like, no buts, I'm like, you stuck, bro. I don't even want to be friends with you. You're like, stagnation. Stagnation is yesterday's story. Thanks for coming. Yes and. Okay, yes and. Interesting. It's interesting. Okay, interesting that you have that perspective. Explain to me why. Okay, interesting, you know? So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, that was really good. Thank you for spending the money and reporting back the field reporter for the expense.
Yeah. It's can I charge it to our expense account, please? It was not a cheap exercise. But you know, Zach also said something really amazing about Costa Rica, which is so funny. I keep going back to Costa Rica and I keep going back to an area in Costa Rica called Nosara, which is so weird because Costa Rica's got lots of places, but I keep getting pulled back to Nosara. This is the third time I've been to Nosara. Nosara is a little fishing village, like surfing village. And it's really a nothing village. It's got dirt roads, but I keep going back to Nosara. And he said, Costa Rica, the land of perpetual peace. Never been war in this land. And no army. They have no army. And they have no carbon power generation. All their power generation is natural. They're 100% renewable energy, no war, and perpetual peace on the land. And I thought, what an interesting mix of a country. How many countries do you know that have that stat? I mean, I don't know any country. Like, hasn't had war? Like wars, like most countries have war.
Yeah.
And then renewable energy on top of it. And so funny, when I was in Costa Rica last time, which was again in Nosara, we went whitewater rafting. And the whitewater rafting was only able to be done between 11 and 1. And so when we were getting ready to go whitewater rafting, they were like, in a serious, like, you have to be there by 11. And we were confused. Like, the river's running. Why do we have to be there at 11? No, the river doesn't run. They have dams around the country and they release the water into this specific river at 10:58 every day or whatever. And it starts running at 11. So it literally starts running. You put your canoes in, you start white water rafting. By the time you finish, the water's gone. The river stopped running. There's no water there. How crazy. And it's a massive river. There must have been 40 of us white water rafting down there. And the water was running powerfully for 2 hours. You would never imagine this thing would stop running. And like 2 hours later, you go back there, there's no water. It's like dry sand pit. And you're like, what? How crazy. So yeah.
What were you there for previously?
Dr. Joe. Okay. I was there for Dr. Joe Dispenza. Yeah. That was that year I did 1 week Cancun and then flew straight from Cancun to Costa Rica. So I did 2 weeks back to back with Dr. Joe. And then when traveling around Costa Rica, went to the hot springs. There's like the volcanic hot springs there. They did whitewater rafting. We did waterfall, climbing down waterfalls. What's it called when you're on a rope?
Like abseiling. Yeah.
Abseiling down the, not just abseiling, bro. Abseiling in a waterfall with the water of the waterfall coming over your face while you're abseiling, bro. I'm an advanced abseiler, bro. Advanced.
Of course.
Anyway, that's obviously.
We'll see if that's on your Google profile next.
Yeah. Advanced abseiler from Costa Rica. Yeah.
Dude, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing your insights with us and reporting back. And to everyone listening, just thank you again for being on the expansive journey with us. And now, if you prefer to maybe read about the expansive insights, then you can do so. Just a reminder, the book is out. We'll be doing launches, like John said, in Joburg, Cape Town, and Dubai. So keep an eye out on our socials for that if you want to attend. And the expansive journey continues. Like, it's so interesting how we get to this point and in some ways, a book would be the perfect, like, it's the culmination of so much that we've done, you know. But I think we are both feeling more enthused about the podcast than before. Like, it feels like it's in a good space. There's momentum and movement behind it. And so this, the book is just another highlight on the journey to being more expansive. And what a journey it's been. Thanks for that.
My pleasure. And thank you. And thank you to all the listeners. And until next week. Stay expansive.